University Galleries in Normal hosts a unique concert event in honor of Veterans Day, showcasing how World War I impacted a generation of composers and artists. Broken Harmony, Reconstructing Art is Friday, November 8th at 6:30 p.m. It features pianist Jason Terry and soprano Angela Yoon, who are performing amidst artwork curated by Jessica Benjamin and her husband, Alfonso. Terry says he was initially considering a commemorative solo piano recital, but quickly realized that this was a project that called for collaboration, and so invited his wife Yoon to join him.
And we started thinking outside the bag and decided we wanted to incorporate visual artists as well.
So that is where Jessica Benjamin and her husband come into play.
So I was actually at Bradley University, and I did not know them. I was just searching for local artists on schools that were around's website. And her name popped up, and just reading her bio, it seemed like someone that might be willing and of interest to collaborate with. So I reached out to her. We talked on the phone. I just dry called her and told her exactly what I was thinking. She was receptive to the idea, and coincidentally, her husband Alfonso was working at Bradley University as well, and I had never met him. So he and I met, and the rest is history, so they say.
So when you decided to start collaborating, where did you find the material that you wanted to include? Did you have to do a great deal of research?
I had done a lot of research on my own for strictly piano solo repertoire, and I had spent several months looking and scouring music that I thought could pair well showing before and after the war. When Angela got involved, she can talk about what she was doing on the vocalist side, but I would say both of us spent several months actually thinking and considering and changing and altering. Even after we first met with Jessica, we still didn't have our repertoire set completely, and she was gracious and allowed us to change stuff up until a few months ago.
We started with some idea about it, and we started researching based off of that. But a lot of the repertoire decision was made after we've done a lot of research, and it came, I think last edition was Saint-Saëns, the Hymn to the Peace. And that one we found at the very, very last moment. Jason had to arrange a trumpet part to it that didn't really exist. It existed as an orchestra score, but that score does not exist anymore. So we had to be creative and think about possible way to make this happen.
Let's talk about some of the things that informed your decisions, Jason, Angela, when you were looking at pieces to perform. Were you thinking about these needed to come from artists who were actually on the front lines, experiencing things, maybe composing while they were on the front lines, bringing it back and performing it for people? Or were you looking at people who were, you know, stuck on the home front and, you know, dealing with the heartbreak and the anxiety of it and doing their compositions there? Were you looking for a particular type of artist's experience?
I think it's both of what you suggested. Some composers, for example, like Erik Satie, his music changed so drastically, and it never returned the same as how it used to be before the war. And definitely some artists, their musical color has been affected so much. It changed their entire style or approach to music. So that's why we chose certain composers. And certain composers we chose because it was appropriate. They created repertoires that was in reaction to the war.
There is kind of a wide variety of pieces, composers, and why we picked those. But I think there's some pieces, for example, Scott Joplin, his Maple Leaf Rag is going to be on the concert. And that clearly wasn't affected by the war since it was written almost 20 years before. But Igor Stravinsky's piano rag music, he claims, was influenced because of the Harlem Hellfighters coming over from the U.S. as soldiers, bringing the ragtime music with them, which he obtained that way. And Angela mentioned Satie, heavily influenced by it. Another piano one that I'm looking at is Maurice Ravel. We know that Ravel was an ambulance driver in the war and wrote a nice piano set after the war that he dedicated to six friends of his that had been killed in action. So there's a wide gamut that we're going to explore in this concert. We know that Sanson at the time had already officially retired from the concert stage, but after the war started on in 1914, he went back to the concert stage, and this was his one of his last pieces he ever composed. I think it's Opus 159, if I remember correctly, after the completion of the war was over, and he composed it in 1919, just about 18 months before he passed away.
So much of the music that came out of that time answered certain needs with the composers and with the audience as well. The need to mourn, the need to celebrate, to raise spirits, and to commemorate as well as we moved beyond the war. Were you choosing songs and pieces that would reflect these different ways of expressing and reasons of expressing?
I think some of them are definitely representational of what the composer wanted at the time as far as what he or she wanted it to say to the audience. But a good number of them, I'll refer back to the Saint-Saëns that we mentioned already, as well as the Kurt Weill that we're performing. As far as we know, these pieces have never really been performed. The Kurt Weill, we found out, we received the manuscript copy from the Kurt Weill Music Foundation, and they told us that after Kurt Weill himself premiered the piece, the score was put away, and it has not been published to date. And the same thing with the Saint-Saëns. We found that one actually in a bibliography that we have not found a score other than a piano arrangement, but we know that Saint-Saëns orchestrated it. But by all accounts, it's never been performed, and we've not even been able to find a manuscript of the orchestration at this point. So it's been interesting to find these pieces that were written as a direct reaction, but perhaps never received their intended purpose.
Did you find a lot of differences between essentially both sides of the war, between the American and the English composers, the French composers, and then the German composers? Was there a lot of difference, or were there a lot of things that really overlapped, that they had a lot in common, even though they were fighting on different sides, they were expressing the same things?
I would say definitely there are some similarities. It's darker. After the war, it's somber, darker, confused, out of ordinary sounding. Those are the things that I've noticed. It's just not the normal chords, harmonic structure. It's not the normal melodic structure musically. That doesn't really make sense.
After the war, it seems to cross nationalities, cross ethnicities, that everyone was affected, whether they were on the winning side or the losing side.
Everybody seems to have been utterly unsettled and really wasn't sure. The confusion was coming through in the music.
I think overall that would be my take on it. I will say an interesting quote by Maurice Ravel, his piece that he wrote that is in honor of two brothers that were killed by a bomb that I'll be performing. He says he got in trouble because it wasn't sad enough sounding, and his response was, "The dead are sad enough." So for him, it wasn't really making sad music. It was making some kind of music in honor of his friends, maybe more so than just the fact that there was a war that changed life forever.
Jason, Angela, was there anything that you found in your research that really surprised you about the music of that era?
In general, particularly in academic circles, music at the turn of the century, particularly when we get to atonal and Schoenberg and later with 12-tone and serialism, it's often relegated to the back burner, and it's not even considered music in some circles just because they say, oh, this is too mathematical, it's too formulaic, we don't want to listen to this. But I would say for me, spending this last 18 months with this style of music, it's been a learning experience for me to see how much music there actually is underneath all the surface. And when you understand the context that some of these composers had either witnessed or at least read about in primary sources of the newspaper of the day, it makes the music a little more sensible.
That's pianist Jason Terry and soprano Angela Yoon. Broken Harmony, Reconstructing Art is Friday at 6:30 p.m. in University Galleries in Normal. I'm Laura Kennedy.